We are in Revelation 13 tonight, this afternoon. It's almost tonight. I guess it's afternoon. I got a binder here that I put on here, the book of Revelation, and it says the triumph of God, and that would be sufficient to stop there, right? But I have on here the triumph of God and God's people. I can see you're excited about that. This is always one of those rough afternoon crowds. Revelation 13. I was actually going to bring this morning. If you follow us on Facebook, I had it announced for this morning. And Brother Lopez had talked with me earlier and said, hey, my family's coming for my birthday as a gift. There's some that are needing considered salvation. And he goes, would you bring a salvation message? He goes, I don't usually tell preachers what to preach. And I said, I have no problem doing that. And so I pray that the Lord allowed his word to have a place in some hearts to have an opportunity to hear and see the truth. Revelation 13, and we read in verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or as we would call it, 666. As I was going over this, I began to realize that Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, in verse number 3, that he says that the good shepherd calleth, it says he calleth his own sheep by name. Amen? If you are a child of God, God knows your name. Amen. You're not a number to God. Anybody that does not receive Christ as their Savior, that down in the future, and the future is approaching quickly, receives the mark of the beast, will only be known as a number. And I'm glad that I'm not just a number before God. I'm glad that I have a name. When we get into the book of the Revelation, it's one of those passages, books of scripture that produce a lot of intrigue, a lot of mystery. I was talking with Althea on the way over here about it, and there's debates over what this is and what that is, and mankind seems to be pretty fascinated with the book, as well as it brings fearfulness, and that some people just want to avoid it, especially when you get to this part here on the mark of the beast here in chapter 13. The fact is, and I think this is a factual statement, we don't know exactly what the method of the Antichrist will use to mark mankind. But I think there is enough information in these three verses that will give us a reasonable understanding of what the process will be and how the placement of this dreadful mark will be taking place. I want us to consider a couple of things. We're going to look at four things here. I don't know that I'll get them all done today or not, unless I go way late into the evening hours. And we don't have to worry about anybody falling out of a window. No one's sitting in the window. And we're only a one-story building anyway. Amen? But I want you to notice we're going to try to look at four things in particular about the mark of the beast. The first thing we want to be able to consider is the prominence of the mark. We're going to look at the prominence of the mark. The second thing we'll be looking at is the placement of the mark. The third thing will be the purpose. What is the purpose of this mark? And then the fourth thing that we'll be considering here is the profession of the mark. So we'll have the prominence, the placement, the purpose, and the profession of the mark. So let's look at the first one here on the prominence of the mark. And look at our verse again, verse 16. He says, and he causeth all, both small, and this is the word small means micros, it means in age or influence, and great, which is the word megas, rich, wealthy, and poor, beggarly, free, and bond. He says, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. understand that there is coming a day. It's coming. It's getting closer when all of this speculation of how this is going to be, what it's going to be about, will be fully understood. It will become a reality, no longer speculatory. This isn't a legend. This isn't a fairy tale, the mark of the beast. It's not some script out of a Hollywood movie, some horror movie that they've created. But it's a mark that will be worldwide during the tribulation period. Worldwide, global, not just in a particular area, but globally. Now, I want us to, as we look at the prominence of the mark, we're going to look at two things under that. The first thing is the requirement of this mark. Notice that phrase, he has four words, and he causeth all. He causeth all. The he in this verse is actually the false prophet. You have the false prophet, you have the Antichrist, and you have the beast. It'll be the mark of the beast. And he will be the one who devises and dictates this mark. It won't be anybody that we're familiar with, I don't think, at this point in time. But the word I want you to look at is the word causes. And he, it says, causes all. The word causes here in the Greek means to force upon someone to do something. To force upon someone to do something. In other words, this mark of the beast is not a mark of choice. You don't get to choose if you want it or not. Well, kind of. We'll see that in a minute. But it's a mark that will not be of choice, but it will be mandated by Satan and his, what we would call the unholy trinity, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast. And it will ultimately... it will ultimately promote the worship of the beast. Okay, that's what we'll get in. That's what it'll be heading towards. That's the requirement. He maketh or causeth all to receive a mark. There's no question it will be one of those areas. Now notice, if you would, secondly, under the prominence here, is the recipient of the mark. We see the requirement, but look what he says about the recipient. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. They will receive a mark, the Bible teaches, in the right hand. Hold up, you raise your right hand. It will be in that hand or in the forehead. One of those two places. The mark of the beast will be a universal mark. And I want to emphasize that strongly because all the world will be expected to receive this mark. Folks, we're heading that way very quickly. I think, this is just Kevin Heimer's opinion, I think what we're seeing now is a typology to prepare for this coming. Yes. You have the mark, you have the mask. Yes. Well, it's only a letter different, and I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying that I think it's all getting you set for that mindset to come. You can't come into Walmart or these places without the mask. And now we're going to see that this will be a mandatory situation. It's already going global now with the mask and all of the other stuff. So we see we're heading that direction clearly. It's not going to involve just a few nations. It's not going to be some just the geographics of, it's not just America that's going through this. Get online and read what people are talking about in Australia. My wife has friends in Australia. She hears and reads about what's going on over there. We have it all over the world that is taking place. So it's not going to be just geographic locations. It's not going to be a certain nationality of people. But all men, now think about this, all men will line up to receive this mark. Now, I was just watching the news the other day for the vaccination, and I want you to understand that when they were showing on the news last night, people were waiting in their cars, some of them up to 10 hours, to receive a vaccination. If they're willing to do that for a vaccination, line up for hours, this is what we're going to see taking place globally. All men will line up to receive their mark, identifying them with the Antichrist. There will be no exceptions. It'll be people, listen, it'll be people from the jungles of the rainforest in South America all the way up to the penthouses in Manhattan. Great and small, rich and poor, free and bond. Now, I believe that many people will be deceived in what this mark is for. going into it, just like I think there's much deception going on already. The mystery of iniquity, the Bible says, does already work. But I think many people will go on to receiving this mark with a deceived understanding, believing that it is for the good of the world. And if you don't get it, you're a problem. That kind of sounds familiar already, does it not? But those who receive this mark are pledging their allegiance to the worship of the beast. That is the prominence. It's global. Rich, poor, free, bond, little, great, whoever. That's the prominence. It's a global mark. Now, I want you to notice in the second part of verse 16, we read here is the placement. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Look what it says, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. The word mark that God uses here by John means a stamp or an imprinted mark. It will be a permanent mark. Once it is received, it cannot be done away with. It will be a permanent mark that we see clearly in Scripture that is placed in the flesh of those who receive it. This mark will quickly identify status as followers of Antichrist. And again, I want to stipulate that I think we're seeing little doses of it to prepare for the reality of it. A little typology, if you would, because they're going to be demanding probably down the road the proof that you have gotten the vaccine and to be able to do certain things down the road. Watch and see how this unfolds. But ultimately, this mark is quickly identified, will identify their status as followers of the Antichrist. Now, I want you to hold your place here and flip over to Revelation 16, if you would. And this is the people who have received the mark in their right hand or in their forehead on the placement. Now, notice what happens here in chapter 16, verse 1. And we have God's seven vials of his wrath are being poured out. Watch what happens in verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men, now watch, which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So somewhere down the road, in the future, the angels will be released, the seven bowl judgments, vial judgments will begin, and the first one is on all who have received the mark. And it says they will pour out a noisome sore. If you look it up, it talks about a grievous boil. Evidently, I think that it's a plague from God, but I think it's interesting. It's only those who have the mark of the beast. Notice another thing that's kind of interesting here in Revelation 20 in verse 4. He says, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So here we see later down here in the future, Revelation 20, that there are those that are in the tribulation who refuse to take the mark will ultimately be beheaded. So it's a global mark is what we're trying to establish. It's a universal mark. It's prominent. We see its placement. But it's one of those things you won't be able to refuse it. If you refuse it, you will probably be given the death sentence immediately. So that's the placement. Now, it's probably a good time to discuss the possibilities of this mark. And that's all I'm going to say is there are possibilities of the mark. Some believe that in some type of a tattoo or a barcode will be imprinted on the skin and it can be scanned. There's definitely the possibility that there's technology for that today that we have. I mean, they have security systems that scan your fingerprints or your retinas of your eye to read for security purposes. So there's definitely a possibility along those lines. The second other is another possibility is that, and I think it's gaining more and more popularity in our day, is the microchip. And we're seeing that they're promoting that very heavily. It's about the size of a grain of rice. You can Google it up and see how they're doing experiments using the microchip under the skin. And if you notice in all the pictures that I came across, I could be wrong, but in all the pictures I came across where they're actually showing people that are alive right now using this process where everything is scanned. They buy everything. They don't carry money, credit cards, nothing. All their information is on that chip. But if you notice, everyone that they're doing it on is in the left hand, everyone that I've seen. And here we see that this is going to be very particular. It's going to be the right hand. And these little chips have the ability to store all of our personal information, all of your financial transactions, all of your medical records, your social security number, everything that you can think of will be stored on these. And they're already being used. These microchips are already being used in people's pets in case they get lost. They're chipping them when they come in. And if you go to a rescue place and get a dog, it will probably be chipped already. So they're already using this on animals, which is that's what we always do. That's one of the problems, and I'm going to say this very graciously, so don't, I'm not taking a side one way or the other. That's the problem of this vaccination that they're offering right now, is it never has gone through what all other vaccinations have gone through. They left out one major step, and that's where they would test it on animals to see the reactions for the generations even. And so they're jumping that one process that we've always done. And so basically, we are becoming human guinea pigs to them. Now, I'm not saying don't or do. I'm just saying you have to know what you're going to do and make a decision based upon that. So we see that they've already placed them in pets. They're talking about using them in infants when they're born to keep from children being stolen. And actually, they've even brought up, if you do some research, people with Alzheimer's implanting chips into them. So if they wander off, we can track them and find them. So it also has tracking devices as well. Now, I think that our generation understands and sees the technology already lying around that's ready to get used. It can be widely accepted by our world already. It's not going to be a question about it being accepted. And this, too, could be the tool that the Antichrist will use as the mark. We don't know for sure. I said we don't know for sure. But we do know that men will be expected to receive this mark, whatever it is. Whatever it is. So that is the placement of the mark. We've seen the prominence of the mark. Now, what is the purpose? That's our third point. What is the reason for which this mark needs to exist? Why do we need to have this? Look at verse 17. That no man, that includes everybody, that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And by the way, I just want to let everybody know, this is a future event. It's coming. The mark of the beast will be promoted, I think, as a means to secure global welfare. I'm not saying welfare like we go and get welfare, but I'm talking about the welfare of the people. I mean, the purpose of the mask is for, maybe not for you, it's for everybody else. It's the welfare of everybody else. Yeah, and so here we see it will bring about this universal, ultimately it brings about a universal control. It's a control factor, folks. We already see that happening. You have to shut your store down. You're not essential. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. It is for the control of the nations. And the nations, folks, listen, are going to bow down to it. They will bow down to the authority of the Antichrist and the rule of the Antichrist. And the mark will maintain, it will ensure that they are able to maintain complete control because they'll know every single thing you do and where you're going. Now, what control will be taking place? Number one, under that, he will control the economy. We find that no man, the Bible says, can buy or sell without the mark. He will have the ultimate control of the amount of goods that people buy. They'll know exactly how much you buy. They won't be able to make a single purchase without the mark. Folks, you can grow your gardens, you can get all your stuff stowed away. It won't matter. It really won't matter. It may last you a while. And by the way, let me just say something to encourage you today. I personally believe the Bible teaches that we'll be gone before this happens.
Yes.
That's my conviction. But it's still written for us that God is unveiling things for us to look into the future and see. That's why on my binder here, I put on here the book of the Revelation, the triumph of God and God's people. We need to understand that we are a part of his victory. But it will be the world economy. They won't be able to buy a single purchase without the mark. And I mean, consider the power of that statement in verse 17. Anywhere you go to buy or sell will require that you have to have the mark. You cannot fill up your car without the mark. I buy car. When I fill up my truck, I usually 99% of the time go to Sam's Club. Why? Because they're cheaper. They're sometimes 20 cents a gallon cheaper than everybody else. I'm paying like $1.89 a gallon. But you know what? I can't just go and buy and pull up to the Sam's Club thing and stick in a credit card and buy from them. I have to first slide in my Sam's Club. I can't buy from Sam's if I don't have their card. So we're already used to a mindset of who can and who can tell us what we can buy here or not. And I'm not against Sam's, by the way, okay? But we're seeing here that means you will not be able to go to the gas station to buy gas. You will not be able to go to your Aldi store, your Walmart store, your Brookshire's, your HEB. You won't be able to go grocery store shopping. You will not. Now, this is going to be sad for... Really sad, a thought here for a couple of you. You will not be able to go to Whataburger.
Thank the Lord. Oh.
You will not be able to go out to a restaurant. You will not be able to buy clothes. You say, well, I do all my stuff online. You won't be able to buy online either. Because that mark will have to be registered. I'll guarantee you that number will have to be typed in. You won't be able to buy clothes for your children. You can't sell anything right now. I sell things every once in a while. I'll get just a itch. And I'll go through my stuff and say, I don't use this anymore. And I'll put it up on Facebook Marketplace and I'll sell it. I won't be able to sell things that way without the mark. You will not be able to be admitted into the hospital without the mark. I guarantee you, if you're there and you have no mark, they'll require a mark if you're coming in. And they'll have the means to do it. No medical treatment. The whole global economy. Us, Russians, Chinese, Japanese, Brazilians, everybody's under the same thing. It's a global situation. Will be controlled by the Antichrist through this marking system, the mark of the beast. And I'll tell you what, for those people who refuse it during that time, it's going to take a lot of courage to resist that mark. They're going to have to be strong. So the purpose of the mark, it will control the economy. But ultimately, I want you to see the second part in verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, he will control society, the economy as well as society. The power that the Antichrist will have, that he will grant to the beast, is incredible. When he sets control, when he sets up the control over the economy, the food, the clothing, your utilities, your medical care, all those things, all of that is to gain control over all of society, all of mankind. He will be in control of everything that people need to survive. And there will be the two options, accept the mark or resign to an awful death. And according to what we saw in Revelation earlier, they were beheaded for it. They were beheaded for it. You know, it's interesting. I'm just throwing this out just as a nugget of something you can do whatever you want with it, you know. When you think of our day and age, when we are civilized people, there's only one group that I know of that's very well known for taking people's heads off, decapitating people, beheading people. And that is the Muslim group. So I don't know how strong they'll be into this area with this. Those are the only two options. So imagine a single mother at home with an infant, and if she doesn't have the mark, she can't take care of her baby. Imagine living up in Minnesota. God forbid that I'd ever have to live back up there again. Amen. My wife says, don't say that. He may send us back up there. But I would hate to go back up there again. And imagine needing your fuel, heating fuel, during the freezing winters up there, and you don't have the mark, so you can't purchase it. Imagine a husband who has a large family. Imagine, I mean, we can go on talking about all these different situations. You have a situation. Mike Lopez said as he went out, he thanked me for preaching the message, and he says, pray for my family. He goes, I might not make it in Wednesday night. He goes, I'm not feeling good right now. He was telling us yesterday that his heart's been bugging him again. And it'll just be going to where he goes, I can feel it beating in my temples. Boom, 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 boom. Imagine if he had that and he gets up there and they said, you can't come in unless you have the mark. Well, I either have to turn around or go back or receive the mark to get taken care of. I hope you're beginning to see the influence that the Antichrist will have over society. But once that person receives that mark, whether it's in the right hand or in the forehead, they have eternally identified themselves with Satan at that point. And I'm glad to say that I'm glad that Jesus offers mercy. Amen? Amen. I'm glad that he offers grace rather than dominance over. Imagine serving a God that dominates you like that. Quickly, I have to finish here. Number four. Number four is the profession of the mark. The profession of the mark. Look at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. It's interesting that here in chapter 13, which is interesting, that's the unlucky number as we know it, that it would fall on that. And as we close out chapter, or begin chapter 13, we have the rise of the beast and the false prophet, and we have the mark of the beast and all of this over mankind, that it closes out the chapter before it begins to talk about the redeemed lamb in chapter 14. It closes out the chapter here. It's a call for wisdom. He says, herein is wisdom. It's a warning to all men to be wise concerning the deception of Satan. There will be those people who will refuse the mark, but they're going to pay an awful, awful price for their choice. But those who bear the mark, who receive that injection or that stamp here or here, will bear the mark of his name and his number, 666. We know that the Antichrist number is the number of a man, the Bible says. And understand that man, when God created man, man was created on what day? The sixth day. The number six in Scripture, if you do a study on numerology, there's a lot that can be studied in that area. But without going crazy on it, That is the number of man. It's the number six. The man has, and God, what is God's perfect number?
Seven.
Man missed again, did he not? He doesn't meet God's standard. And here we have that this individual bears the number of a man, but it's the number that is created, because man was created on the sixth day, that it will be the number, I think it's the Holy Trinity, the unholy Trinity, the 666. They will receive the mark, which is the mark of Satan. And ultimately, it speaks of the defiled nature of the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist. The unholy Trinity is represented in the number of this sinful man. And all who receive this are submitting to that evil system. You know, the Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's put blinders on people's minds, their thinking. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto him. I think we need to be about our Father's business, folks. I think we have family and we have friends and we have people we rub shoulders with in our neighborhood or in the workplace, that God placed us there as Christians to tell them the good news, to share the good news. I believe, as I said earlier, I believe that the church will escape this dreadful time. I think the saints will be gathered together, but those who are left will face the mark of the beast. I don't understand all of this stuff. I told her I didn't understand all of this stuff when we were driving over here, but God put it in here for us to read and to study and to consider looking at. And I think it's very timely right now because of where our... We're not even talking about where we're concerned about our nation or our state. We're talking about our world, the direction that it's all going together as one unit, as one unit. But I believe that the church will escape, and I have what I feel is scripture for that, and they'll escape this dreadful time of suffering. But those who receive the mark have sealed their eternal destiny, and they will live out eternity, folks, in a devil's hell. You know what we need to be praying for? We need to be praying because, whether you like him or not, Joe Biden needs to get saved. Whether you like him or not, Joe Biden needs to be saved. Whether you like her or not, Nancy Pelosi needs to get saved. These are some wicked people, folks. They really are. I'm not taking any of that away. Ungodly, carrying the spirit of Antichrist. But I'll tell you what, so was Saul of Tarsus. He was having people like you and me hauled off and dragged and beaten and put to death. And yet, God heard somebody's prayer on his behalf and saved him. So we need to be praying. Lord, I pray that you would, forgive me, I'm not trying to be funny here, but I've heard people say, Lord, I pray that you would take and be with President Biden, give him wisdom to do what's right. He doesn't know how to do what's right. It's not in him to do what's right. We need to pray that, Lord, help him to come to know Christ as his Savior so that he can do right. So we need to start just praying for salvation of leaders and sharing the good news of those that are around us. I guess the main thing is this is a future event. It's going to happen. It's not going to be a part of the church time. We'll be taken out of here. But the question is, are you a part of the church? And I ask if you attend church. I'm asking if you know Christ as your Savior. Have you truly repented of your sins and called upon the Lord to be merciful to you, a sinner? Be sure that you know that you have been saved. You get into the areas of the rapture and things, and there's a lot of things I don't know that we can clearly understand and clearly explain. But we don't have to. God's in control, not me. Amen? I'm glad. Aren't you glad God's in control instead of me? And somebody had asked me, so do you believe that a person that goes into the tribulation, do you think they can get saved? Well, they have to be able to. But let me ask you a question. Can a person, and this is just throwing this out for food to think on, can a person who's heard the gospel presented to them clearly and they don't trust Christ, whether it's they're not ready to receive it, I'm not persuaded, whatever it would be, and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise and we're caught up and we go to be with them, and they're left here during the tribulation, will they have opportunity to be saved again in the tribulation? Or will it just be those who have never heard? Thessalonians says that there's coming a day when there's going to be sent by the wicked one strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And just interesting thoughts. But here we are today in this session here. And we saw the prominence of the mark. It's going to be global, folks. We saw the placement. It's the right hand. It's the forehead. It's clear. The purpose is ultimately economical and society, control of society. And the profession is that when I receive this, I have now rejected the God, the living God, and have come and yielded myself to Satan. And that's all he's ever wanted from the beginning is to be worshipped. So that's what we had today. It's a future event. I'm glad I'm not going to be there. I'm glad I can read about it. But it should motivate us to be about our Father's business like Jesus was, in occupying till he comes.